Let's start praying. We'll begin. Our precious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful meeting. Thank you for the saints of God. They're the most beautiful people in all the world. We've been many places in the world. We can say that very, very candidly and honestly. They're the best people in the world. Help us, we pray today, dear God, as we speak about things that are very, very important in our life, things we hold as being very, very important. Bless now, we pray, in a special way, and we'll certainly give your name the praise. Amen. All right. This afternoon, as I said, I bring PowerPoints at home only on Wednesday nights. I preach on Sundays. Now, kind of a tradition, I preach in the morning, my son preaches at night. And Wednesdays, I bring PowerPoint lessons. All right. These are three types of love that every one of us here needs. We need love, right?
Yes.
We need love. When I was teaching music in public school, we sang a song, "What the World Needs Now Is
Love."
I can't, there's a story I don't have it on my PowerPoint. It comes to me, but I read an article in Time about these young people in Baltimore, Maryland. There were about 70 or 80 college students which were enrolled in a psychology or a sociology class, and their professor told them to go downtown Baltimore and interview 200 young boys downtown Baltimore. They did that, and every one of them said, all the boys that we interviewed, not one of them is going to amount to anything. They won't amount to anything. They'll be on the skid row on the streets, whatever. So many years passed, and a new professor came to the university, and he saw that study. He said, well, I'm going to make a follow-up. So he sent students out to Baltimore and to check as many students as they could find. It was many years later. And every one of those men were lawyers, doctors, engineers. And the students from that college asked the students, to what do you attribute your success? And they said, we had a teacher. We had a teacher. So they went to the home of that teacher. She's way at years 90 or something. She said, what did you tell those boys? She said, I told everyone very, very sincerely, I love you. I love you. And that so impressed all those students. They made something out of their lives. And people need love, right?
True.
Real love. So we're going to discuss the three types of love. Eros, physical, passionate, romantic. That's what you feel towards your wife, right? Hello.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Physical, passionate, romantic love. Philos, mental, friendship, brotherhood. We have a wonderful brotherhood here, don't we? It's awesome. Beautiful. Agape love, spiritual, selfless, and unconditional. That's what God has towards us, and I believe that's what we should have towards our fellow man.
Yes.
Amen. Unconditional, selfless, spiritual love. So those are the three types. Every one of us needs them. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
We need a companion. Hello. We need the help of the brethren in the fellowship. It's rich. And I've been coming here 57 years, and besides my home, this is where I like to be. It's God's acres, 57 years. It's a wonderful place to be at. Agape, spiritual, selfless, unconditional love. All right. That's you and your girlfriend, maybe for some of us, 20, 30, 40, 50, some for us, 50 some years ago.
56.
Can you see me in that picture?
No.
You can't. You can't. Can you see my wife in that picture? Eros, romantic love. Amen. All of us, you know, we see stars, whatever, we see that special one, right? Oh, come on. Come on, we're not that old. Hello, 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 hello. All right. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet, right? That's what my wife is to me. And you may not agree with me, but I had quite a confrontation with someone one time. He said, you can choose anybody. I don't think so. I believe God has a special one for every one of us, and we need to wait on the Lord.
True.
And the best place to find that person is in the church of God.
Right.
Amen. Now, I'll say this. In all the years, we've been there 51 years, every marriage that we have consummated, and people have remained in the congregation, there's never been a divorce. I'm going to say that again. In 51 years, all the marriages we have performed, and those couples have stayed within the church, there hasn't been one divorce. What's the secret? Being in the house of worship, being accountable. Young men need to be accountable to the pastor and God, right? The last few months, we've met a lot of people who have become disillusioned with the church. California, Alabama, and many places. Because the church, so-called church, was not what it's supposed to be. And that's pretty sad. That's tragic. Absolutely tragic. Amen. Some young couple called me yesterday. They said, we want to move. They're probably 55, 50. But they said, we don't have confidence in our pastors. Would you counsel us? Would you feel uncomfortable? All I can tell them is follow God. Right? Listen to God. God's not dead. As we heard this morning, God still reigns. The Lord's God said, it's not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him. Since man is social, we're gregarious creatures. Do you know that? We like to flock together. Sheep are gregarious animals. Lions prowl by themselves. But sheep are gregarious. They like to be with others, don't you? I love fellowship. I love fellowship. That's why I go to Denny's every morning. Because I fellowship with all the people there. I love fellowship. And it's more than two fellows in a ship, isn't it? They can be on both ends and fighting one another. Right, Brother Max? It's more than two fellows in a ship. All right. I appreciate Brother Max very, very much. He and I have been very close for about 80 years. Also, man was created to propagate. We heard that with Brother Borders. Also, man was created to propagate, replenish the earth. Genesis 1, 28. If you take a real good glance, you can see Ohio and Oregon. All right. God saw that man needed someone to assist him, cook his meals, help him run the affairs of the household. This one would be like him in many ways. He'd have emotions, right? Attitudes and so forth. One that could help him in bringing forth children and supporting them, or supporting him in rearing or raising them, right? Yeah. We need each other. And I'm telling you, as an old pastor, if you as parents stand against the preacher, you're going to lose your children. I've seen it in 50-some years. If parents don't stand behind the pastor, they will ultimately lose their children. Attitudes that parents have are imbibed by your children. I had a sister come to me several months or years ago and said, I've done wrong. What should I do? I said, get your children together and ask for their forgiveness. Hello? You must not say anything. And we heard, I don't know who brought it recently, but touch not mine anointed, nor do my prophets any harm. We raise up against a man of God. We're bringing trouble upon ourselves. We have a family coming to our congregation. We have their son now in our congregation who's married to one of the girls. But they've been in California because of problems there. They did not worship in a congregation for 18 years. And that's not good. Hello, and then it's hard to come under the authority of a pastor. You can say what you want. I have many people tell me how I should build a congregation. But you know what? I like to say, like Brother Wilson said, would you show me a working model?
Right.
Would you show me a working model? Some of these people from California tell me how to do it, how other ministers have failed. They want to tell me how to do it. One of them said, you shouldn't sit in front. I sit in front of my congregation because I have a better look, right? Hello? But this person said you shouldn't sit in front of your congregation, you act like you're better. Hello. All the years I grew up, the pastor sat in front so he could see. Hello. Once while I have a grandson comes up and sits on my lap, he helps me. You look that way, well, I'll look this way. And sometimes they'll say, amen. Amen. But I get all these things. People want to tell me how to build a congregation. I said, show me a working model. Right. Would you? Absolutely. Would you show me a working model? And I'll fall, I'll sit down and let you take over. God saw that man needed someone to assist him, cook his meals, help him run the affairs of his household. This one would be like him in many ways. One that could help him bring forth. My wife's been awesome, absolutely awesome. Bringing forth children, support him in raising those children. As I said yesterday, we never had television. I don't think television is good for a family.
Yeah.
That's what I think. We didn't have television. We spent most of our time in church or around musical instruments. Help me, God said. All right. Our happiness is not complete without that certain mate. You know us single people, they go around like this. Right? Come on now. I've had pastors for 50-some years. But married people are happy, they're content. And I'm going to say this, oh, you can put me out the back door. The more children you have, the happier you are. Did I say that? Boy, Sister Beth looks at me like, happy is the man, my Bible says. Happy is the man that has one or two. It does? Happy is the man that has his quiver full. Y'all are looking at me, oh, Brother Stegmar, why don't you go back home? I will in a couple of days. But my Bible says, happy is the man who has his quiver. Well, how many is in a quiver? Are you looking up? I don't know, 9 or more, whatever. We had 7, but I've heard of people. When I was a child, I got to tell you a story. When I was a child, growing up in Montana, Brother Stimola were our leaders, and there was a family that had 17 or 18 children. And it was kind of clever, but they'd take off and go home and leave 2 or 3 at church. And they would be sleeping. Someone had to take him home, whatever. But the lady was kind of cute. She had gray hair, but she wanted to be a brunette. So she put on a wig. But out of the side here, she had gray hair. But growing up, you know, children growing up in the church, you got to have lots of fun, right? Come on now. And she'd always say every morning, Pastor Mullen would say, anybody got a special? 100! 100! Every service. And you know what song that is in the green hymnals? Jesus is all the world to me. And I grew up thinking that must be a horrible song. I did. I thought because the saints would go, ah, there she is again. Page 100. And then she'd go to sleep. So I hadn't heard that song in years. And I came here to God's Acres, and the choir sang, Jesus. I said, well, there it is. I thought that was a worldly song. But they sang it. Remember, years ago, Sister Evelyn Romine sang the solo part. Well, wow, I thought that was a worldly song. I'll start singing it at home. All right, Jesus, all the world. Our happiness is not complete unless we have that certain one. Hello. The one God chooses for us.
That's right. That's it.
God knows the one that can compliment us. Not say, oh, honey, you look sharp as a Philadelphia lawyer. I told Brother Polson, he looks as sharp as a Philadelphia lawyer. He said, what is that? I said, that's sharp. I used to have a sister who came to our congregation from California years and years ago because of the cleansings, and she was such an asset. She said, Brother Stegmeyer, you look like a Philadelphia lawyer. I never heard that before. Amen. But anyway, compliment. C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T. Not I. Not say, you look nice in that dress. I tell my wife all the time. But E means we supplement that person. Where they're lacking in strength or whatever, we fill in and help, right? My wife helps me a whole lot. She tells me, honey, what you said was probably not as kind as you could have. She critiques my sermons. Hello?
It's good.
Yes, it is good, yeah. Sometimes I feel good about it, and sometimes I don't feel very good about it. Especially during the pandemic, we had services at home. And she felt I was too strict because we have a huge family. They all come in to sing and whatever. And sometimes they had to get on their cell phones when Grandpa was preaching. And I did not like it. Well, honey, she said, you're so mean sometimes about it. Well, to me, they should be. Well, at least they're here. At least they're here. They could be on the streets. But my thing is, they're privileged to be there to hear Grandpa. Hello, you say, well, you're egotistical, whatever. But they're privileged to hear the word. That's the way I see it. They're privileged. Someday I'll be in the grave. I'll be out there in that cemetery where I walk. I walk with the doctor of divinity almost every day. He says, I love walking the cemetery. You know, Brother Stigmeyer? Because these people don't talk back to us. All right. So we're here to supplement, to help and encourage one another, right? Lift up one another. All right. Our happiness is not complete without that certain me. The desire for companion. Now we're talking about Eros love. Our desire for companion is a universal, innate desire placed there by God. It's natural, right?
True.
I wanted a mate, and I grew up, and I wasn't as ugly and sad-looking and only 3 or 4 hairs every inch. But I had girlfriends when I was growing up, but I can tell you, ministers would tell me that one is not for you. Wow. They would tell me that. So I waited and waited and waited and waited until I came to God's Acres in 1963, and there was a piano player. She mesmerized me with her. She just tickled, went over those keys. I couldn't hear anything else but watch her play. And we finally sang together, and it was, I've discovered the way of gladness. That was the first song we sang together. I've discovered the way of gladness. I've discovered the way of joy. Hello. And he said, blessed be the Lord God. Well, who is this? This is the servant of Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. He was sent to get a wife for Isaac. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Of his own people. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. When I marry couples, I always have counseling ahead of the marriage. And I always stress that. I being in the way. Whoa, I'm sorry. What does that mean to you? It means this. Stay within the confines of the church. Where truth is. Don't get out of the way. That's what a little prepositional phrase means to me. Stay with the church. Hello. Amen. Oh, I can tell you lots of stories. Remind my daughter, Kylene. When she was tiny, she was in my study, and she found $2 behind where I was studying, and she grabbed those in her little fat hand and called the bank. Said, bank, me's got lots of money. Well, I'll tell you a little story. At one time, because I married Brother Wilson's niece, people turned against me. You know, have you ever heard what's called jealousy? Really? It's as cruel as the grave. That was before the doctrine. I can tell you lots of very sad, heart-wrenching. But that person that said that on their deathbed called us and said, will you forgive us? It's better then than too late.
Right, true.
My thing is, the only prerogative I have as a pastor is they should marry in the Lord. God, I tell our young people, go to God's Acres. There's someone there that's gullible enough to marry you. Someone. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
All right. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham. That's the servant of Abraham, who had not left destitute, my master of his mercy, his truth, I being in the way. He didn't get out of the way. So stay with the church. You're asking for trouble if you go outside the church. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. All right. This is a good one. This is a good one. I remember, reminds me of another story. Can I tell you another little story?
Yes.
We go to Montana a lot. We have for the last 60 years. But anyway, Sister Brower's here, but we've had some cute experiences in Hamilton, Montana. One summer we were holding a meeting in this little congregation, and the lady got up and she told my wife, I want to play a solo. Good to have you, Brother Carl. She said, I want to play a solo. My wife said, what do you want to play? I want to play Hark the Herald Angels Sing. 4th of July. And after it was over, the little lady said, that was a good one. Of course, my children just chuckled. But we have lots of good times in the house of worship, right?
Yes.
Amen. All right, let's go on. Now, whoso findeth the wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of the Lord. We're talking about romantic love. I tell people a while back, I told the waitress, this is my girlfriend. Well, how long has she been your girlfriend? I said, 54 years, or five, whatever it is. Well, for Pete's sake, marry her. I have 54 years ago, whatever. She got real indignant with me. Real indignant. I said, yeah, oh, okay. But we can still be boyfriend and girlfriend, can't we?
Yes.
All right. Now concerning things, you know, Eros love is explained some in book of Songs of Solomon. Here a while back, Brother Borders brought us some lessons, some pretty strong lessons, right, from Songs of Solomon, and about Eros love and how he brought it into the church. But Eros love. I've heard that the Amish people won't let the Amish boys read the Songs of Solomon until they become mature young men because it's very explicit. But I'm going to choose the New Testament. It's got some there dealing with Eros love. Now, concerning the thing wherever you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. All of us want a good marriage. All of us want to be very careful of our lives, right? Lots and lots and lots and lots of experience. I had a man come to me, a teacher, to my home. He said, I'm haunted. My marriage is horrible. As a teacher, a PE teacher, he said, every place I go, he said, I see girls that I molested. And me and my wife have a horrible time in our marriage. What would you say? I said, ask God to forgive you and go on. Right? So young people, you are beautiful. This is a beautiful congregation. I'm an old man. Be careful, right? Be careful of your lives. Devilous, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. The Eros. Sexual activity must be confined to a husband and wife. Other relationships are sinful. Bigamy? And what is bigamy? When a person who's married decides he's going to marry somebody else. And he doesn't, that's bigamy. Polygamy is when you have lots of wives. Polygamy is condemned in the Word of God, both. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise the wife unto the husband. I put this down, I'll come to that. I believe it means this. We need to be kind to one another, right? Compassionate, considerate. All right, who is this man? Well, not so much here in Ohio. I believe he was from they were originally in New York. This cult, I think, started in New York. Out west, there we have lots of them. Lots of them. Brigham Young was born 1801, lived to 1877. He was 76 years. Was perhaps the most prominent polygamist of early Latter-day Saints movement. And it's very prominent out west. A while back, they built this humongous temple. About 15 miles from our home. Humongous. I had Mormon teachers say, Mr. Stegmar, would you like to go with us and see that? I said, thanks, but no thanks.
Right.
Why would I want to go to Temple of the Devil? Mm-hmm. I said, no thanks. Brigham Young, the most prominent polygamist of the early Latter-day Saints movement, had 55 wives and 59 children. That's right. History will tell you he made the statement before he went to his demise. There came a time in my life, and I just reworded it there. There came in my life that I desired to go to the grave. Probably keeping 55 women happy was difficult. Suppose? We don't, people, these religions like the Seventh-day Adventists and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, they pretty much have marked us off. But a while back, I had these two Mormon girls. They're usually boys. And I tell our boys, they're dressed nicely. They are wanting to impress you. Suits, a little badge here, elder so-and-so. Anyway, I had these girls who were Mormon elders come to my house. I've told you this before. One of the girls was a student that I had in high school. So as we were talking, I said to her, I said, daughter, I said, I understand that Brigham Young had 49 wives. 55. Oh, I'm so sorry. And I heard also that he had 38 children. 59. Oh, I'm so sorry. I said, how would you like to be married to a man that had 54 wives? She goes, oh, that would be divine. I said, you're sick. Go down the road. That was a student of mine. I said, you're sick. You're sick. And down the road she went and never returned. I don't know if I've ever seen her since. Amen. Thank God for the truth.
Right.
When two individuals, I'm talking about Yaroslav, when two individuals agree to be married, they're consenting to perform the following. Provide tenderness. Compassion. Right? Care. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
Protection. And the act of love and affection. Consummation. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
All right. The wife had not power of her own body, and that's true. See, people get after me because I speak pretty plainly, but I believe we should let God plant our homes. You're very quiet. I have a lot of people who don't like what I say, but I believe that. I do believe that. How do you know that God doesn't want to give you an Emerson Wilson? Or John or Charles Wesley? Or D.S. Warner? You don't know. That's why you need to be very careful. Amen. The wife had not power of her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, also the husband had not power of his own body, but the wife. That's pretty plain. Well, you understand that. 1 Corinthians 7, 8, 9, I say therefore to the unmarried widows. Now let's talk about Yaroslav again in the New Testament. I could have brought some scriptures from the Songs of Solomon. They're very, very explicit, as I said, and I'm not wrong to them, but they say the Amish people won't allow their young people to read those. But you can read them on your own. So the Songs of Solomon. I say therefore to the unmarried widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain it, and I say most people need a companion. Roman Catholicism has a horrible situation.
True.
Out in Oregon, we had a priest there that molested, I don't know, 50 or 60 little boys. And when we died, the judge in the case said, now we are rid of the most vicious, demoniac, evil man the world has ever known. That's what he said. The judge in the case. Now he's gone. The worst man that ever lived. And he was a Roman Catholic priest. We had a man come from a mission. We used to go to the missions, three missions all the time. And a boy came to our church from Cuba. And we had some real serious problem with him because it had worked in his mind. But he said, when I was a young boy, I was an altar boy, and the Roman Catholic priest molested me. Horrible. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it's better to marry than to burn. Next to having a rich, think about this here, next to having a rich, clear, and close relationship with God is a man's strong bond of love with his wife. I don't know about you, but when I was first married, I see some of you checking your eyelids for holes. But you know what? There's no holes in your eyelids. When I was in the service, sergeant, the general, whatever, would speak to us. He'd say, Stigmar, stand up. I'm just checking my eyelids for holes. Stand up. You're not going to fall over, go to sleep when you're standing up. Hello? I'll try to make this a little livelier, should I? Next to having a rich, clear, and close relationship with God is a man's strong bond of love with his wife. This is a blessing and a favor from God. This didn't happen in your marriage at all, I'm sure. But when we were first married, we hardly ever have a disagreement now, very rarely, but sometime when we were first married, we had a little bit of a disagreement. My mother made mashed potatoes this way. Oh, my father did this. My mother did that. And we get to church. Honey, I'm sorry for that remark. Hello, you didn't have to do that. Anyone didn't do that? No. Okay. I wanted to be clear with my wife. I could not be clear with God unless I was clear with my wife. I will not be a hypocrite. Hello? There's too much hypocrisy in the world. Next, having a rich, clear, and close relationship with God is a man's strong bond of love with his wife. This is a blessing. It says, a favor of God. This is a blessing and favor from God, right? Mm-hmm. My wife and I, when we were first married, we were courting for 5 years, we courted via the telephone. Brother Polson goes, We courted via the telephone. I was in Montana teaching music, and she was back here playing for the newer choir and so forth. But we get a new song, we sing to each other. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
That's sweet. Sometimes I'd call her, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. Because we're 3 hours, with 2 hours difference, you know. I was through with a concert, 11, I called her. Oh, David's calling. Hello. We'd sing to each other. I got a new song. And so we'd sing. All right. It's a blessing. Well, I was getting to, we saw almost everything. Here she was raised in a congregation back here, 2,500 miles away. And we saw almost everything just alike. That's God. As that quartet sings so beautifully, that's God. And we didn't have to argue about doctrine because we understood it. All right, now the next form of love. Philos, friendship. Isn't that a sweet little picture? Those little boys love each other. Mm-hmm. Philos, friendship. Friendship, that's another form. Don't we want friendship?
Yes,
we want friendship. My wife said, you've never met anybody you don't know. Well, I like to. What does the Bible say? If you're going to have friends, you got to what?
Be friendly.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
You get an A.
Oh, yay.
If you want friends, you got to be friendly. Right?
True.
All right, Philos. Philos love includes love for our fellow man. Brotherly love and friendship, our sharing of thoughts, ideas, and concerns. That's all in there. Love for our fellow man, brotherly love and friendship. Sharing of thoughts, ideas, and concerns. Compassion for those who are in need. Right? We should be reaching out. How about the Good Samaritan? Isn't that a real example of love?
Yes.
Philos love? Oh, yes, it is. Compassion for those in need. No hatred or bitterness between anyone. Hello?
Amen.
Mutual love and respect. Several years ago, I was down in West Virginia holding a meeting for Precious Brother Borders. I went to Brother Bob Evans' restaurant. We don't have those out west, and we like Brother Bob. And we went, Brother Bob Evans. Yeah, Brother Bob Evans. He's my brother in the, you know, someplace. Well, Wilson's in the flesh or whatever. Anyway, people get after Brother Wilson for calling some brother. He said, I'll hit him either if it's not in the spirit or the flesh.
Okay.
Anyway, I'd go there lots of times, and there's this young Pentecostal minister, and so we got to know each other real close. And he came to church there with Brother Borders. But as I was leaving the last day, he slipped me a little tiny piece of paper, and that had that scripture on it. Iron sharpeneth iron, so man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's great. Isn't that good? We should be helping each other improve.
True.
All of us should be helping each other. That's what that scripture is talking about. If we're really what we ought to be, we should be helping each other improve in our walk with God and effectiveness for Him. I want to be effective, don't you?
Yes.
At times, we may need to give some constructive consideration. Oh, Christian, Brother Borders, would you read that for me? Proverbs 27, 5 and 6. At times, we may need to give some constructive criticism. I'll tell you what, I heard it this morning. We're living in a day, people don't like to be rebuked. It's not comfortable for anybody. Brother Mullen said years ago, he said, we're living in a day, it's very difficult to rebuke or correct somebody. They will not take it. At times, we may need to give some constructive criticism and graciously receive some criticism, right? All right, Brother Borders, read 27, 5, and 6.
Open rebuke is better than secret love.
Whoa, that's good, isn't it?
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Pretty powerful.
Yes.
Read it one more time, Brother Borders.
Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Years and years ago, lots of experiences. But I had a couple that got married. And my wife, I remember, we had a real problem. Because they would meet together when I told them they shouldn't. Their first date was on a Sunday when this man's son was killed in a crash. Sunday morning, these two boys were sitting in the sanctuary and they were not behaving very well. So I said, we have a lot of young people. And I didn't want to embarrass them. I just said, young people, if this were your last day, would you be behaving as you are this morning? I said that. One boy went like this. The other boy went. After service was over, I went home and got a call from the Clackamas County Ambulance Service, and they said some of your parishioners have been involved in a fatal car accident. I said, who is it? They said, we don't know their name, but the brother wants you to come. I was pretty sure then I knew which one it was. They left church and went like maybe 80, 90 miles an hour and rolled their car. One was thrown out, hit a rock, took part of his head off. He had to be camouflaged in the casket. So I had to go and see this father. They were going against our counsel. I said, she is free to get married, but you've been married 4 or 5 times. But they ignored our counsel. So I went to his home. I sat and sat and sat and sat, waiting for him to come home. When he got home, I said, brother, I could name his name. He's gone now, but I said, I got some very, very sad news. Your brother Darryl today was killed in a horrible car crash. Son, he went berserk. Amen. So we need to be careful. Hello? God's word will not return void.
That's true.
I could never pastor him. I eventually lost him. Her too. Both of them are dead. We need to listen, right? We should be helping each other, improving our walk with God and effectiveness for Him. At times, we may need to just give some constructive criticism and graciously, as Brother Borders read so beautifully, receive some. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I love this. You remember when David was fleeing from Saul because of Saul's jealousy? David was out in the woods, and along came Jonathan, Saul's son. And he could have been envious of David, but he realized that God's hand was on David. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose, went to David in the wood, not like this and that, and strengthened his hand in God. That's profound, profound. So every one of us, that's what we should be doing with each other, our best, to strengthen each other's hand in God's. I like that. Behold how good and how pleasant it is, David writes, for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133. Amen. Probably David knew a lot about that because he and his brothers had some problem, didn't they? Did they? Mm-hmm. I thought of this many years ago. We've gone through several very difficult places. We have the nicest and largest congregation we've ever had, which is awesome. At one time, we lost 35 people, and most of them were my people, my family, because I wouldn't stand against Brother Emerson Wilson. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. It's ridiculous. Well, then they walked out on me. It was very grievous. But I still don't have a real good relationship with any of them. But my oldest brother and I are very close. He comes to our congregation, he said, your men are so loving. Your men are so loving. Shouldn't that be the way it is?
Yes.
He cries, he sits there and cries. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When I was putting this together, what do you think? These are some messages now I put on PowerPoint that I brought home. The greatest and most precious unity that we find is not family. Families don't always get along. There's not always peace between races. No. The greatest unity is in the family of God.
Amen.
I'm going to reiterate that. The greatest and most precious unity that we can find in the world is not in family or race, but what the saints of God have in their family and their family father. As I was growing up, I came to Church of God when I was 5 years old. I never felt one degree of any prejudice. I never have. Sister Almeida's father was a great man of God. I never. We just loved everybody. It accepted everybody. If we didn't, our pastor said, you need to hit the altar. Sooner be better than later. The greatest and most precious unity that we find is not family or race, but that which is the saints of God have in the Heavenly Father. When we are in tune with God, and I stress this, I put this, I had a lot more I could have done, but I didn't have time. But my concern is to have fellowship with God. And when we have fellowship with God, we'll have fellowship with everyone else in the world that has fellowship with God. I don't align with anybody. I'll be very candid. I do not align my life or ministry with any other minister. None whatsoever. But I align myself with God. And then I believe that I'll come in contact with all those who also are aligned with God. I stress this all over the world. There's no headquarters to the Church of God. Not earth.
True.
It's in heaven.
Right.
Where the head is.
Right. Amen.
And I'll repeat what I said a couple days ago. If we all have contact with God, there'll be no division.
Right. True.
Amen.
When we are in tune with God, we have rich fellowship with those who are also in communion with the Lord. There may not be oneness of opinion, My wife, in fact, I gotta be careful what I say, we gotta get another car, and she likes these cars that are raised up like this. You know, not raised up, but high. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I like them when they're kind of low. Brother Brooks said he likes it low too, because God said, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you." But we have a difference when it comes to cars. Just now we're having our house repainted, and she wanted a different color. I said, "No, it's going to stay the same." She said, "Okay," she acquiesced. "Okay." You say, "Why?" Well, I'm just strange, but I like the church and the outbuilding and her house all be the same. So people go by, "Well, there's that bald-headed man. He must live over there because they're the same color as the church." Hello. Maybe it's strange, but I like that we're a unit. Hello. My wife's going to talk to me later. Could we have a different color? No. There may not be oneness of opinion. You're all looking at me pretty mean. There may not be oneness of opinion. However, there may be oneness of spirit and purpose. Matthew 6:33 says what? Seek ye first. All of us should be wanting to further the kingdom of God where God placed us.
Right.
Yeah. Further the kingdom of God where God has placed you. Do you want to help? Oh, yes, I want to help others, but my primary burden is where I labor. And I want to see it progress. John 17:21. What is that? I can't. Oh, I know. The high priestly prayer when Jesus was in the garden. Keep them one, right? As I and the Father. Amen. Keep them one. All right. Now, this, as I said, Church of God hymns are unique. I don't have too much more, but how sweet. D.S. Warner wrote. And I clarify this. People say, well, D.S. Warner was your reformer. He's your leader. No, 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 no. God used these men.
Right.
God used Martin Luther,
right.
John Charles Wesley.
Right.
God used these ministers in the Sixth Seal, and they wrote awesome songs.
Yeah.
If nothing else would tell me, attest to the fact that God was in the movement then, all these songs. Who's writing a hymnal for us today? Who wrote this hymnal for us, these ministers?
Right.
Hello!
Right.
No one out in Babylon sings these songs.
Right.
As I said, 137 Psalm, they're unique, the Church of God. How sweet this bond of perfectness. How wondrous the love of Jesus, the wondrous love of Jesus. A pure foretaste of heaven's bliss. Oh, fellowship so precious. We have a lot of new people coming in home, and we're so excited. But I tell the church at home that we don't have all these new people unless they have the truth.
That's right.
We have a nice congregation. We have a lot of new people now lately coming. But I said the church, Brother Wilson told me years ago, you don't have those people unless they understand and love the truth.
True.
So I'm a working at it. It's a lot of work. Oh, brethren, how this perfect love unites us all in Jesus. One heart, and so might we prove the union heaven gave us. We have a new brother, new minister coming. I don't want to say where he's from, what movement, but he's been coming, he and his wife. And he said, "I've never been in a place like this in my life." I'm hoping that as he hears truth, he'll embrace it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. The bond that circles heaven's pure, oh, wondrous, wondrous story has dropped around the holy here and fills us all with glory. Oh, praise the Lord for love divine that binds us all together. 1,000 cords of hearts entwined forever and forever. Amen. All right. God over all and in us all and through each holy brother. I said the other day, every one of us has to be very careful of the nuances of the Spirit, right? When I'm dealing with people, new people, and I can tell many times by their countenance when it's getting to where they could be offended. So I said, well, let's talk about the weather. It's going to be awful hot here in Oregon, 117 degrees this weekend. 117. So I think as we work with people, we need to listen to the nuances of the Spirit. Oh, he's alive. He'll nudge us this way and nudge us that way. This is too much. You're giving them too much. Hold back. Show more love. All the time. God over all in us all and through each holy brother. No power on earth or hell withal can rend us from each other. O mystery of heaven's pure peace. O bond of heaven's union. Our songs are profound. Profound. And O bond of heaven's union. Our souls in fellowship embrace and live in sweet communion. Now, Paul says, but touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. To love one another. I read a story. I've got to read it right here. I'm glad you asked for it. Thank you, Brother Carl. You're a dear, dear brother. Appreciate it. I read something a while back, and as I was preaching these messages at home, I saw a story that I incorporated here. This is an illustration of brotherly love. After the USS Pueblo was captured by the North Koreans, the 82 surviving crew members were thrown into a brutal captivity. In one particular instance, 13 of these men were required to sit in a rigid manner around a table for hours. After several hours, the door was violently flung open. A North Korean guard brutally beat the man in the first chair with the butt of his rifle. The next day, it happened again to the same man. Knowing the man could not survive another beating, another sailor sat in his place. When the door was flung open, the guard automatically beat the new victim senseless. For weeks, each day, a new sailor stepped forward to sit in that horrible chair, knowing full well what would happen to him. At last, the guards gave up in exasperation. They knew they were unable to beat that kind of sacrificial love. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. One of the men that was involved said, we got terrible beatings. Head beatings, rifle beatings, and broomstick beatings. I had two chairs broken over my head. That's an example of brotherly love. I love the church. I love God's people. Amen. And again, I will say this. It's the love that draws people. You can say what you want. It's the love that draws people. In Songs of Solomon 2:4, in the realms of brother love, a spiritual love permeates everyone. It is from above, from God. And I'll come to that. I have another slide. But I believe it says, he brought me to his banqueting house. That's the church. And his banner over me was
love.
Love. That's the church. I've heard that in messages right here. The love that's felt here is awesome.
True.
In the realms of brother love, a spiritual love permeates everything. It's from above, from God. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Sometimes in difficult places, you need a brother, right? Years and years ago, another story comes to my mind. We had a brother in our congregation who foolishly set a bunch of brush on fire after dousing it with gasoline. And that's bad. Gasoline is explosive, right?
True.
But he didn't know where he had dumped all the gasoline, so he's right in the middle of the fire.
Oh.
And the fire burned him very badly. So I was teaching, and I got a call, an emergency phone call. I went. They said, Brother Joe Meyer's been badly, badly burned. His wife was having a problem with the church, which is very sad. She said, I'm going to take you to the burn center. He said, no, call the pastor. Well, she wouldn't allow me to come. But we had two brothers in the congregation that she would allow to come. And they went, and they submerged him in deep water and held his arms up while he just writhed in pain. But God healed him. But that's brotherly love.
Amen.
They were there for hours. Held his arms up while he writhed in pain all night in water. That's brotherly love. He didn't have to do. I didn't tell him he had to trust the Lord. His wife was very bitter. I said, it's up to him. He said, God told me when I came out of that fire, he was going to heal me. Amen. So we have to pray and be our best for one another. Sometimes it takes difficult times. Sometimes it takes hard places to show which friends are genuinely loyal.
True.
Sometimes it takes difficult times to show which friends are genuinely loyal. I'll hurry. I heard this statement many years ago, and I might not have it verbatim, but a friend steps in to help you when he has nothing to gain and everything to lose. Some people may not understand why you're stepping in to help that person, but if God says do it, you do it.
Amen.
A friend steps in to help when he has nothing to gain, everything to lose. In the Word of God, we have record. Give me just a few minutes. In the Word of God, we have the record of brothers who did not get along. Cain and Abel. They were brothers. And this happens sometimes in the church when one brother's sacrifice is not what it should be and he attacks a brother who's spiritual. Oh, I've seen that. I've been in the church now for almost 80 years. And sometimes people who are not so spiritual will pick out somebody who is. Oh, yes. Cain and Abel. Esau and Jacob. I had scriptures for those. Esau and Jacob had a problem, right? Joseph and his brother. We read all this. But Joseph told these dreams, and the brothers, the Bible said, they hated him. Someday we'll get him. Enemies of this unit, jealousy, gossiping, lack of love, and bitterness. Many, many years ago, God impressed me so strongly to preach to a congregation on that subject. Beware lest a root of bitterness bring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. This congregation has been overcome with bitterness. You become bitter, you taint others.
Right. True.
Brother Wilson said it, the spirit in the pastor is bred into the people. Remember that dream? I didn't like it. Joseph and his family. I'll hurry. Conformity can come through manipulation and pressure, but unity must be in the spirit. God gives divine oneness. It's like the dew. It's fruitful.
Yeah.
By this shall all men know you are my disciples if you have love. That's a favorite scripture of the Church of God. It ought to be. By this shall all men know you are my disciples if you have love one to another. There it is. He brought me his banqueting house. His banner over me was love. I got to hurry. The last one. I'll hurry through this. Agape love is spiritual, selfless, and unconditional. And that's the way we got to be.
Right.
In my ministry over this 50s, well, way back, I don't expect to get anything out of the people that I work with. Hello. Hello. Sometimes it costs a lot of money. Sometimes it costs a lot of time. Hello. But Christ's love to us was unconditional, sacrificial, and spiritual. Agape love, the highest form of love. Back when the Bible was written, we didn't have this word. We eventually did. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, will tell us, describe that kind of love. Spiritual, selfless, and unconditional. Sometimes we have to spend a lot of time and money to win a soul.
That's right.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Time, effort, money. Amen. I'm hurrying. Beloved, lest thou love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. Love is the important component in the nature of God. It's the important component. It is the greatest quality of a Christian and does the greatest work. Can I repeat that? Love is the greatest quality in God's people, and it does the greatest work. Not education or money. No, 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 no. It's love.
Amen.
And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in God, love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Agape love is pure love. A pure love. There are no wrong feelings or thoughts in it. It gives and gives and gives again. It is sacrificial and never takes account of the cost. It's like when you have a new baby. Sometimes you have to get up in the night. A lot of effort, right? You don't just throw it in the nursery and say, take care of yourself. It's a lot of effort. And so do with new converts. I take some of the congregation almost every morning out for dinner. I'll have to tell you, almost every single morning. Breakfast, oh, I'm sorry, breakfast. But it's a bonding. It's a bonding. We can talk. I take one brother out every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. He's an awesome, precious, spiritual man. Personally, I've never seen a man grow stronger and greater than he has in my almost 80 years of being with the church. But you know why? Not reading it, putting it into practice. And he came to his church. His wife was Roman Catholic. Long story. Amen. God, beloved, is pure love. There are no wrong feelings or thoughts in it. It gives and gives again. Sacrificial never takes account. Some of you know Brother Watson, Boyce Watson. You know him. Came originally from Alaska. He and I become very close. And he and I do everything together, practically. If I go to the hospital, he goes along. Go on visitation, he goes along. Amen. He's alone. But we need each other.
Yeah.
We need each other. The love, this love looks out for the welfare of others. It does not discriminate. It reaches out to everyone. Friends, derelicts, someone without a home, a job, property, someone down and out, and even its enemies. This love manifests itself in giving. And I'm soon closing. For God so loved the world that he gave. Someone said, you can love without giving, but you can't, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving.
Right.
Amen. All right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just a couple more here. Apostle Paul wrote, but be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us, given himself, sacrificed to God. Jesus came here to do good. His whole life was to serve others, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wasn't Christ's entire life to serve others? And I think we should do that. So as I close, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever fire. It's measureless. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hill. The guilty parallel bowed down with care. This is an awesome psalm. I can tell you experiences. God used this many times in altar service. God gave you a son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless. This kind of agape love is measureless, strong. It shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and where the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole that the stretch from the sky to escape. Now, this next verse, I believe was this verse, yeah, I believe, yes. They say it was written on the door of a locker of a man who was in an insane asylum. And when he left the insane asylum, they opened up the door, and he had inscribed that verse. When hoary or ancient times shall pass away, earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, and measure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels song. Now, I promise my mind, it could be the next verse. I'm not sure. The last verse. Yeah, the last verse was the one. I don't have that on there. This love is not universal. Give me 2 minutes. This love is universal, unconditional love that transcends and continues regardless of circumstance. This love seeks the best for others. You want the best. It is impartial. Everyone's treated equally. God, beloved, willing to help anyone, the rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated, enemies and friends, willingly, making sacrifice, time, money, and convenience. And this is my last slide. And you say, good. This is a theologian said this. Love is the conquering power in a world of hatred, strife, and selfishness. It can do what no other virtue can do, and in that sense is the queen of the graces. Love repays abuse with kindness. It prays for mercy for us executioners. It acts unselfishly when all around are clamoring for their rights. It gives until it can give no more. Those three kinds of love, we all need those, and we get them here in the house of worship, right? Eros, physical, passion, romantic. Our wives provide us with that, right? Our husbands. Philos, the brethren, the church, and agape is what God gives us and what we ought to be given to the lost and dying world. That makes sense? You've been wonderful audiences, and you're all dismissed. No, where's Ella? Ella, do you have the candy? Give Ella the candy, and Ella will be over there at the door. And this will be for all those who are 12 and under. If you feel like you're 12 and under, take some candy. Thank you, and have a good day. Thanks for coming.